Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back for another week of BetMGMU, live coast to coast on the BetMGM network for you every weekend. You can always watch the show on YouTube. Just search for the BetMGM network. And of course, in podcast form. Wherever you need to be, we're right there with you, getting you ready for this weekend's games and looking back on this past weekend, as well as the first set of CFP rankings that came out Tuesday night. It's all there. Follow on social media as well, at BetMGM Network. Alongside RJ Choppy, I'm Chris Mack. John Martin, he's got the week off. En vacacion, or if you were English, you would say, he's on holiday, Choppy. He's on holiday, he is.
Yes, he is. Yeah, the most wonderful place in the world, apparently. Been a while.
I've never been there.
Really?
I've never been to the Mouse's house down in Florida. Been to Universal plenty of times, but not there.
Man, we actually did our senior class trip there in high school. I was there. My grandparents lived there, so it's old news, baby. Haven't taken my kids, though. I can't afford that.
No, man. We're busy spending a cash on betting games.
I'm old enough to remember when it was $30 to get in there.
Wow. What is it now? $300?
Probably.
At least. Yeah. We got more fun with our money than going to a theme park. We're going to bet some games this week. Do. It's not the most stacked slate of the year. That's probably an understatement. But there are some games that have some impact. We'll get into those. BYU Texas Tech is massive in the Big 12 this weekend. Oregon on the road at Iowa, a very interesting test for them, given that their offense has some inefficiencies that have shown up over the last couple of weeks outside of that Rutgers game. And the Aggies, A&M, headed to Columbia to face the Missouri Tigers, Missouri trying desperately to stay alive. We might get into LSU-Bama. And a surprisingly maybe important game in the ACC, Virginia hosting Wake Forest. We'll try to get to as many of them as we can here today. Take a look at some conference championship futures as well as we are pushing towards the end of the season. As I mentioned, Choppy, we've got our first set of CFP rankings. 1 through 12 have been set up for us, at least for this week. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama 1 through 4. Let's start there. Because I heard old Paul Feinbaum, have an issue with Indiana ahead of A&M. Not that it really matters, because 2-3, 3-2, I don't know if that means a lot, especially in the first set of rankings. Any problem at all with the way the top four are laid out right now?
Look, I got to be honest. I mean, if you're going strictly by resume, I think you can make a case that both Indiana and A&M deserve to be ahead of Ohio State just by who they beat. You know,
First place votes, so yeah, it's not a hard argument to make.
You know, I think Ohio State, obviously their best win is Texas, week one. It's an okay win. It's a good win. I mean, Texas is playing better now, but nobody expects them to finish with two losses. A&M's best win is at Notre Dame, and Indiana's best win is at Oregon. And I can make the case that the Indiana win is better than all of them. I could easily make that case. So I have no problem with Indiana ahead of A&M. I think the argument is Ohio State. The problem with that is, though, the eye test is everybody really agrees Ohio State's played the best football. So
yes,
I can't really have an argument with that. My issue with this is I just want consistency. If it's eye test, make it be eye test. If it's resume, make it be resume. But you can't just pick and choose when you want to do which.
Yeah, I get a strong feeling of eye test coming out as the main predictor or main decider in this week's set of rankings anyway. We'll see if, like you said, that holds through the next few weeks. But definitely, I got an eye test vibe when we saw Bama at number 4, followed by Georgia, Ole Miss at 5-6, and then BYU all the way down at 7. Look, I realize it's foolish in some cases, depending on a schedule and who teams play, to say, well, if you're undefeated, you got to be ahead of the one-loss teams. But I think in BYU's case, you can make a strong argument that they should be ahead of Georgia and Ole Miss, if not even Alabama, and then let the thing settle itself out in the wash, right? If BYU, if you really, as the committee, don't know how good BYU is, I think you start them out in the four spot, and if they end up losing, they end up losing, right? And then they've got one loss, and you drop them below your one-loss SEC teams. I get that the SEC schedules are much more difficult, and in some cases, these wins and these losses that we're talking about as deciders right now, BYU might not have the same thing right now on the radar. But I just have a hard time taking an undefeated team, and at least in the case of Georgia and Ole Miss, putting them behind those two right now. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I think their issue with BYU is I think they think they're good. But I also think that they think that they're going to lose to Tech anyway. And if you have them too high, you can't justify dropping them. If you have them at four, let's say you have them at four or five, and they lose to Texas Tech on the road, big night game in Lubbock, and they lose by seven. I don't think you could justify dropping them out of the 12. They want Notre Dame in there. They want Alabama and Ole Miss and Texas and Oklahoma. I think they're looking for a way to buy themselves. If they beat Texas Tech, it's easy. Tech's out. Simple, right?
Yeah.
It's very easy. It's a one-bid league. If they lose a close one, this gives them an out, an avenue to make sure, hey, they're probably not as good as Alabama. They're probably not as good as Georgia. We don't want to put them in over a deserving team. This will give us an out to get them out.
Yeah, you're probably right. I do think like we've basically come to the conclusion that both the Big 12 and probably the ACC, with the way Miami has played the last few weeks, are one-bid leagues. Certainly, that's the way the committee's looking at it right now. In the Big 12's case, I think it's you look at the numbers, you look at the odds, and not to jump ahead of ourselves to the conference championship odds, but we're here, so let's talk about it since you brought up the BYU-Tech game that we'll get into in more detail in a couple minutes. BYU right now, plus 450 at BetMGM to win the Big 12, only plus 175 to make the playoff. And if I'm looking at that, it's a real simple choice for me. I'm not going to bet BYU to make the playoff if I can just bet them to win the Big 12. Because it feels like we're essentially making the same bet. We're getting, you know, 4.5 to 1 on one of them and less than 2 to 1 on the other.
Right. That's an easy bet. That's an easy bet to make. It's a no-brainer because if you win the Big 12, you're in anyway. So I don't think that they have a chance to get in without winning the Big 12. The committee's kind of, you know, stamped it. I mean, look at the top six teams are Big 10 and SEC. And then you got back-to-back Big 12, and then you got some more. Big Ten and SEC stuff. You got Notre Dame thrown in there. I think this thing is pretty set. They know the route they want it to be in. I just wonder, like, are they doing this based on eye test, on who the best teams are, on who the best resumes are? Because I have no problem with Virginia being where they are. Like, their resume is deserving. Does the committee really think Virginia beats half the teams that are behind them?
Or beats Georgia Tech on a neutral field if it comes down to it. Like if we're talking eye test, I'm right there with you. Virginia's has done a nice job of stacking wins, but at least in my opinion, Georgia Tech's clearly the better team. If we're going eye test, and so I would have Tech in there over Virginia. But you're right; this is where some of the inconsistencies start to come in.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't. I mean, I got takes, man. I as soon as this thing happened, I went ballistic because I was looking at this and there was one glaring issue with the entire thing, and that's Notre Dame and Miami, which we could talk about. But the committee, I think, wants to protect itself to protect the TV viewing aspect of it. Whether that's a crock of you know what and a sham, that's a completely different argument. The reality is that this is a made-for-TV event.
Yeah, and it feels like they're looking at Notre Dame-Miami as a tie right now, and that the other losses are the deciders, right? Like, that's, okay, Notre Dame, you lost to A&M, Miami, you lost to Louisville, you know, at home. Yeah. So they're looking at Notre Dame, Miami as a tie and pushing Miami out right now based on the fact that Notre Dame's got the better second loss.
Yeah, and my issue with this is, you know, they're rewarding Notre Dame for playing a tough schedule. Non-conference. Okay, but Notre Dame doesn't have a conference, obviously. But they're also punishing Miami for not blowing out their own conference. Like, right. They played a tough non-conference, too. You know, Miami played Florida. Miami played, USF? They played Notre Dame. Let's imagine this. Imagine Texas beat Oklahoma. Imagine if Oklahoma was ranked ahead of Texas this week.
Yeah, it doesn't compute. Doesn't add up.
Oklahoma beat Tennessee. Imagine if Oklahoma loses a game and Tennessee jumps them. What are we doing? Miami beat Notre Dame. Like that to me, like the games don't mean anything, and that's fine. Just let me know, and I won't watch them.
So to round out the rest of the rankings, we mentioned BYU at 7, Texas Tech at 8. They will play each other this Saturday. Oregon at 9. We mentioned they're headed to Iowa for a test. Notre Dame 10. And then your 11-12 are really 14 and unranked. Virginia and Memphis, respectively. Memphis getting the Group of 5 spot right now, which, as we talked about last week with John, North Texas might be a sneaky little bet there if you're looking for a Group of 5 team based on the way the rest of that American Conference schedule shakes out.
I agree. And you know, it's going to be if one of those Group of 5 teams is outside the top 25 in this ranking, I do think you're going to see some of these commissioners start to push back on that a little bit, because that's a valuable spot. That's a valuable piece of real estate. And that might be just add it to the list of reasons why the SEC and the Big Ten are going to want to break away anyway. You know, like when Texas and Oklahoma get left out because you're throwing in, you know, Memphis and Virginia, like that's just going to make those are big brands. Those are very big brands. It's not like this is, you know, Missouri and, you know, Arkansas. Those are big time brands. And you leave them out, that's going to create some problems for the committee.
For what it's worth, right now, as we look at it, the matchups would be this in the first round of the playoff. You'd have Georgia favored by 3 touchdowns over Memphis, Texas Tech, Oregon at a pick'em, Ole Miss favored by 17 over Virginia, Notre Dame by a touchdown over BYU. Those all make sense to you?
I'll tell you this. I would take BYU plus 7 at home.
I would,
too. In the snow, in that altitude. I mean, you'd be sucking wind up there. It's that air gets so thin with the cold.
Yeah, I think the other 3 are pretty accurate. Georgia 3 touchdowns on Memphis, Ole Miss 17 on Virginia. Okay, Texas Tech Oregon is interesting as a pick'em if it's going to be in Eugene. If it's in Lubbock, maybe that makes a little more sense. But yeah, Notre Dame, BYU, a full touchdown sounds like a little much right now if that ended up being the matchup.
I think Notre Dame would win. I think it would win, but like by a full touchdown, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that would be a battle of, and we'll get into BYU and the way they've played so far this year in a second when we start to break down the game against Texas Tech, but I'd definitely take the under. Whatever the total is, I would take the under. And the Oregon Tech game would be in Lubbock. I got to make sure I keep my 8-9 seeds correct here. For what it's worth, North Texas, who we mentioned a couple minutes ago, Choppy, plus 270 to make the playoff. If you're looking for a little return on investment right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Plus 270. That's not terrible.
No, given where we're at in the season, you're just not going to find realistic options at very long prices, depending on what you're trying to bet.
Your best price is BYU to win the Big 12. And it's only like that because they're on the road.
Yeah, and I really feel like, and again, this will be the first game we get into in detail here in just a couple seconds, but that BYU-Texas Tech game, I mean, you're right. The committee set up the rankings so that it's sort of an early Big 12 decider, and they set it up with the ACC so that it's a one-bid league. They've mapped all this out several weeks ahead of time, it feels like. But that BYU-Texas Tech game, ah, man, if that thing's going to close at 9.5, I don't know about that. I don't know if there's going to be enough points scored in that one to get us to 9.5 between BYU and Texas Tech. We'll get into that game. We'll also get into, as I mentioned, the Ducks traveling to Iowa, A&M at Missouri, and see if we can sneak in a little Bama, LSU, Wake Forest, Virginia as well. Plenty of games to get to, some conference futures as well, all on the way alongside RJ Choppy. I'm Chris Mack. You're locked in to BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to call it a quiet week around college football, but there aren't the sexiest matchups on the slate. However, some of these aren't sexy matchups necessarily, Choppy. But, you know, if we were playing that old game of blank, marry, kill, these would be the matchups you'd marry. You know what? They're reliable. They're dependable. They're going to be worth watching. They're going to matter to the CFP picture down the line, some of these games this weekend.
Dude, there's some good games. I mean, there's not some like these are some of these are not like elite. You know, we've had these holy day of obligation weekends where you're not you tell the significant other, listen, it's been real, but
I'm out.
Not this week. Right, but not this week. You know, we're getting to that time of year, though, where these games are of utmost importance.
Yeah, they are, especially in the Big 12. It is BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy. I'm Chris Mack, live coast to coast on the BetMGM Network. Get us in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. Just search BetMGMU. John Martin off this week. We'll get him back next week. We'll have a second set of CFP rankings to react to that will be impacted greatly by some of these games that we're talking about. That may not capture your full, undivided attention, but you'll definitely be paying attention to, especially if you're betting them. And let's start in Lubbock, noon Eastern, 11 Central on Saturday. Number 8, BYU. Number 9, Texas Tech. We've talked about this game and what it means to the Big 12 and maybe their lone playoff spot. BYU currently by themselves in the Big 12 standings, 5-0 in conference play. Tech right behind them alongside Cincinnati at 5-1. Tech handled Kansas State pretty well, 43-20. Baron Morton, quality game, 249 yards, 2 touchdowns. BYU, Choppy, averages 36 points a game, which is top 20 in the country. But they have this tendency to grind things out. Not a lot of explosive plays. They will happily possess the ball and chew up the clock and make you spend a lot of time on the field, the opposing defense, that is. Texas Tech, almost the exact inverse of that, right? They'll big play you to death. They might do nothing for a quarter and a half, and then bang, they're in the end zone before you even know it. They've got the most home wins by a margin of 15 or more points of any FBS team this season, five times. Plenty of tortillas thrown on the field, although that may get them in trouble again. I honestly think if BYU can play ball control and limit Texas Tech's big plays, not only did they cover, because I think 9.5, 10, depending on where you're getting this, is too much in a game that I think is going to be very tight. But I think BYU could steal an outright win here. They're almost 3-1 on the money line.
Man, I'll tell you, this place, this is one of the hotter tickets. In fact, this is the hottest ticket of the weekend. I'm looking at some tickets that are available. This is the only one. There's only one other game that's over $100. That's A&M Missouri. This is $407 as you're getting the door price right now. This is a big-time ticket.
That oil money hits different out in West Texas.
Yeah, it does, man. And that's not it's not 120. It's not 110,000 seats, right? It's not the biggest stadium in the world. But it gets loud. It gets very loud for the size of the stadium. I struggle with this game. This game was a night game. I'd be like, okay, man, Tech can run them out of here. The fact this thing game is 11 a.m. kick. You're not going to have the same energy. The stadiums just are a little bit more lifeless early on in the morning. So, I mean, for a 10?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot. It's too much. It's too much money. I don't know that I would go as far as money line on BYU. Man, 10 is too much. You were begging for a backdoor cover there. Begging.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't even know if it's necessarily a backdoor cover. I mean, in a situation where Tech builds an early lead and maybe takes off at some point, you're right. At double digits is built for that backdoor cover. I just think it's going to be a tight game. I think BYU is going to grind this thing out. And like I said, if they can avoid Texas Tech flipping the field on them or a big play touchdown or two, which Tech has been very good at producing, I would not be surprised in the least to see BYU technically upset Texas Tech. I wouldn't consider it much of an upset. I would consider it BYU starting to put the conference to bed, and they're the only undefeated team in the conference. I don't see any reason at all this thing should be anywhere close to 10.
Yeah, and I would have to go check on the tiebreakers and everything for the Big 12. But I mean, I think BYU could lose this game and still find their way into the Big 12 title game.
I think you're
which
right.
They could,
yeah.
You know, they could get a redo anyway on this, right? So they can get a kind of a do over. But yeah, it's. You know, Tech should be favored. They're playing at home. They're a really good team. I know BYU is the undefeated team, but yeah, I think Tech absolutely should be favored. I just think 10 is entirely too many points.
Yeah. Speaking of too many points, any points in Iowa are too many to be expected. But you got number 6 Oregon going in to face number 20 Iowa. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central kick on CBS. Fourth ever meeting between the two schools, but obviously the first as Big Ten rivals. Iowa's won their last three, Choppy. Wisconsin, Penn State, and Minnesota, though, so I don't know how heavily you weigh those victories. Iowa 5-2-1 against the spread this season. That's second best in the Big Ten for what it's worth, behind only Ohio State. We love to talk about Iowa unders, but Iowa 500 to the total this year. 4 over, 4 under for what it's worth. So is Oregon. Iowa also 5-1 at home against top 10 teams since 2008, including a 2017 upset of Ohio State, 2016 upset of number 2 Michigan. Oregon is in a spot where they need this one, though, to continue to stay in the playoff picture, I think. Mm-hmm. A loss here would really crush them, especially not so much in light of the Indiana loss. You're talking about the number 2 team in the country, even if it was at home. But they've still got USC and a rivalry game on the road against Washington to wrap things up. Oregon desperately needs this one. 6.5 still. 6.5 feels like a bit much going on the road to Iowa.
It does. I expect this to be low scoring. The one thing that's concerning to me, if I'm Iowa, is Iowa plays really, really well against a lot of these good teams. The speed of Oregon could really mess with them, I think. I think it could mess with them in this situation. Because you're right, Oregon's got to win this game. They don't want to go into that Notre Dame, Texas, Oklahoma,
cluster.
Grouping. No, yeah. You want to stay away from that. You know, same thing for Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss has got an easy road with their schedule. They don't want any part of that either. And I know they're going to be staying ahead of Oklahoma, but after what the committee did with Notre Dame over Miami, they don't want to trust that. So Oregon's got to win this game. I think they will. I don't love the 6. If it was at 7.5, I would take Iowa. At 6, though, man, I think I could get away. I think the number's too low. I think 40's too low. 40 with Oregon seems entirely too low for me.
It feels too low. I think a lot of that is obviously it's in Iowa.
I think that has a
big impact on that one. I just, this has all the earmarks of like a 23-16 kind of game. And Oregon might cover, and, you know, we might be just about right on the number. And, you know, the books are good at what they do, so that would make a ton of sense. But I just I always got a real good habit of making games close against teams that might be a whole lot more talented than them. You know, I talked about BYU kind of grinding the game down to a halt at times against Texas Tech. I could see Iowa doing the same to Oregon, just grinding this thing out, turning it into a field goal fest if they have to. And if that's the case, I don't know if we get to 40. And I definitely don't know if Oregon covers by six and a half.
I'm looking at the weather. Man, it's going to rain. And midday, you know, mid-40s and rain. And then we're looking at maybe some snow. And as it gets into the evening, so oof.
Yeah, I think it could be an ugly one, and Iowa keeps it close. Saturday afternoon, 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central on ABC. The number 3 Aggies, Texas A&M, head to Columbia, Missouri, laying 6.5-ish, 7 at BetMGM right now. Missouri still without Bo Prabula at quarterback. Freshman Matt Zollers is okay-ish in their loss to Vanderbilt, 14-23, 138 yards. Clearly, it's a drop-off. Prabula isn't a Heisman candidate, but it's a drop-off from Prabula to Zollers. For what it's worth, Missouri hasn't beaten A&M since 2013 in Columbia. Marcel Reed looked really good in the Aggies last game. And just in general, they've got big playability. Casey Concepcion with the punt return that he had in their win against LSU when they just ran away with that one and got Brian Kelly fired. Both teams coming in fresh off a bye, choppy. If this stays within 7, the number, I don't see 7 or less, 7, 6.5. I don't see any reason to bet Missouri here.
I don't either. The only thing that's giving me pause is A&M road defense has not been elite this year. They've been a much better defense when they're at home. They gave up 40 to Notre Dame. They gave up 42 to Arkansas. And they gave up 25 to LSU. And LSU's offense has been kind of broken. I actually like the over here of 47.5. I don't think that's a high enough number. But I also like A&M in the 7. So I think this game has got, like, you know, 38-24 written all over it kind of thing. So yeah, I think I like the A&M.
You'd have to get out to double digits, I think. You'd have to get out to 10 before I'd get uncomfortable betting A&M here, even on the road against Missouri. Side note, Marcel Reed is now fourth on the board for the Heisman, behind only Sayan, Mendoza, and Ty Simpson. He's plus 750 at BetMGM. You can find 850 in other spots if you want to shop around. Look, I think with such a muddled Heisman field, it's going to be about whichever team gets through not just the regular season, but their conference championship undefeated. And when I look at it that way, or as the number one team in the country, right? When I look at it that way, sure, Julian Sayan makes a ton of sense. I'm not going to bet it, given the number is like 175, 180, not a ton of return there, even if it makes sense. Mendoza's like 225-ish at BetMGM, right around that number everywhere you look. Ty Simpson plus 350. You can find a 450 out there. But Bama's lost already. I don't know, unless something weird happens in the Big Ten the final few weeks, that they're going to elevate to that number one spot. I think Marcel Reed has a chance here. And at the price, I think, is the most important factor here. If A&M runs the table and beats Bama in the SEC championship game, let's paint that picture. And Marcel Reed doesn't have to have massive games. I think he just has to avoid a blow-up. And I think he's got a much better chance than that price, 750, 850, would indicate.
He does. I really like the push Ty Simpson's been on. I'll tell you this. I mean, if Alabama goes and they win out, all right, that means they beat what? They beat Auburn. They'll beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. They would win the SEC championship game. They beat A&M. If they went out, I could see him sneaking above. I wonder if it gets down to it, are the Big Ten voters going to kind of split with Mendoza and saying, is that going to happen? Is that going to screw things up? We've seen that before. We've seen that happen before. Although I don't think they regionalized the Heisman vote the way they used to. But I could see Simpson. Other than that, man, I've thought for a while that it should be Mendoza. They keep winning. I don't know why I would think any different.
I think the only thing that keeps that from happening is if they get if they lose by a decent margin in the Big Ten championship game to Ohio State and Saiyan has a quality game. And really, nothing against Julian Saiyan. He's a very good quarterback. But with those receivers, man, you should be at the top of the Heisman list. I mean, five-step drop and chuck it, my man. Get it out and let somebody run underneath it. With that set of receivers, the Ohio State quarterback, regardless of whether it's Julian Saiyan or the ghost of Kirk Herbstreit, should be able to compete for the Heisman Trophy. So it makes sense that he's there. I think if Indy can go to the Big Ten championship game and beat Ohio State, and that'll be kind of like a little bit of a home game for them, I think that's where Mendoza locks it up and cements it. But I think it's worth keeping an eye on Marcel Reed, given that A&M, I know they're driven by defense. It's Mike Elko team, all that. He might not pop big numbers every week the rest of the way out, but I think it's worth keeping an eye on if the Big Ten gets muddy somehow and A&M runs the table.
Especially if he has a big Thanksgiving weekend game at Texas. And he ends the Longhorn season. Let's say Texas beats Georgia, and then all they got to do is beat A&M, and they're in. And Marcel Reed goes into Austin in front of the quietest 100,000 fans you're ever going to hear, and beats the whiny orange. Beats them. It's over.
Got my pinky up for that one. We'll take a look at some conference championship futures. Maybe touch on a couple of these other games that may have some interest for you as well. Next, plus our best bets coming up on BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get you our best bets to wrap up the show. Choppy will have a little pizza money parlay for you as well. John Martin off this week. I'm Chris Mack. This is BetMGMU. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Leave a nice little five-star review for all we get you every single weekend. Just search BetMGMU wherever you get your podcast. Check it out on YouTube as well. Just search for the BetMGM Network. I want to get to some conference futures in just a second here, Choppy, but we already touched on some of them given the CFP and the construction of it and the way it's laid out right now that we talked about to start the show. Real quick, two other games caught my attention. We could talk about them briefly. We've got LSU at Bama, and we've got Wake at Virginia. Virginia currently slotted into the CFP based on this week's rankings from the committee. LSU-Bama is really interesting to me because I think there's one of two ways this can go. I think LSU can implode under interim coach Frank Wilson with a bunch of guys that just feel like, oh, man, we got our coach fired. This season's falling apart on us. Or the exact opposite, which could be, woohoo, the Wicked Witch is dead. Come on, boys. He didn't even know our names. Let's go. And it is LSU and Bama. It's in Tuscaloosa. It's 10-point spread. I'm not saying I'm betting LSU to win outright. I'm at 3-1 on the money line. I'm not doing that. But I think this is an opportunity for things to get a little hairy for Alabama if they don't put away LSU early and they let them feel like they're in this game. And then God knows what happens late.
Boy, I think you're onto something. This is one of those weird games. And, obviously, this is a game that when you start the year, this is like, okay, this is one of those games that you kind of circle right on your calendar. I want to catch LSU, Alabama. These have been the teams, two of the three teams of the South. I guess Clemson will be the fourth over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't have that same appeal right now. And I think there is something to it. I mean, these kids are playing to put tape out there. They want good tape out there because they want to get an NIL deal for next year. And they don't really care who it's with. And they would love for it to be with Alabama, and they would love to keep Alabama from getting to the playoff because, you know, they don't want to suffer another loss. So I don't hate the idea that this thing could be closer than it should be.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how LSU comes out early. If they look like they're playing with some motivation and maybe they've been galvanized by this whole Brian Kelly athletic director, governor mess, then maybe they put Alabama in a corner early and force them to fight out of it. We've talked about the ACC being a one-bid league and Virginia being the ACC representative in the CFP rankings the first week. They host Wake Forest Saturday night. And Wake's been frisky this year, Choppy. They upset SMU 2 weeks ago in an ugly game. They took Georgia Tech to OT back in September. And Virginia, even though they're 6-3 against the spread, every game has gone down to the wire, it feels like. Almost every single game, other than the Stanford game. Virginia has been in tight back-and-forth games. And I think Wake Forest is frisky here. If it can get to 7, I'd feel pretty good about putting a little something on Wake. 6.5 might not be enough for me, but this could be a very short-lived stay in the CFP rankings for Virginia, as well as they've played at times this year.
Man, I'll tell you, if they get beat by Wake, I mean that the committee's got to go back and really reevaluate everything that they've been doing. They shouldn't get beat. They shouldn't get beat by Wake. But I think Dickert's done a nice job there. Clawson was not very good. I mean, he had his moments at Wake, but, Dicker, he cut and ran from Washington State. It's like, I got to get the hell out of here. You know, this thing, you know, this whole conference thing is falling apart. I got to get out of here. He landed on his feet. It's a tough job. It's a tough job at Wake. There's not a whole lot of things they've got going for them from a football standpoint. They've never had a stronghold really, in anything. For football related, but Virginia should win this game. I know they've played some close ones. They should win this game, though. If they're truly a top 15, 16 team.
I think that's the question. Are they?
Yeah.
Like I said, I think Georgia Tech should be that ACC team penciled in right now. And you made a good argument for Miami earlier. It's odd that Virginia's in that spot right now. And I think they've got to buckle down if they want to stay in that conversation this weekend against, like I said, a really frisky Wake Forest team. We talked about CFP odds and some conference futures earlier. Here's just a blanket question for you. ACC, Big 12. The ACC is currently in a spot where 5 teams are tied with 1 loss for what would be the second spot in the conference championship game. Duke, Louisville, Virginia all control their own destiny. Duke's going to host Virginia. Next weekend, Louisville will travel to SMU. The following weekend, SMU is still in the conversation, as is Pitt. We mentioned Miami earlier, the Big 12. We talked about Tech and BYU, and then it's Utah, Cincy. TCU is, I still think, kind of in the conversation. It's a mess, is my point. BYU still has the edge over Utah unless they get in a 3-way tiebreaker with Utah and Cincinnati. My point is this. Which conference is more of a mess right now, ACC or Big 12?
I think the ACC, the Big 12 is pretty simple. Like if Tech beats BYU and they both win out, then that's your title game. Obviously if BYU wins, it gets a little bit more hairy, but that, you know, cause then you've got the Cincinnati factor thrown in there, but you know, the ACC though, to have 3 teams just completely control their own destiny like that, that's, you know, and more really, that are still in play. That's pretty remarkable this late in the year.
Yeah, it's going to be something if, for example, Miami does not end up in the conference championship game. Okay, but still, let's say Miami plays well down the stretch, but doesn't end up in the conference championship game, and you've got like a I don't know, Georgia Tech, SMU, or Virginia Pitt matchup in the ACC championship game. And I don't know what the committee does in that situation. You already pointed out they threw a little shade Miami's way this week. I very clearly setting up to be a one-bid league.
I wonder if the committee kept Miami down there knowing that they're not going to make this championship game. Maybe see how it plays out. And that way, if they have to, they can kind of jump them up, but they don't want to give two bids to the ACC. Yeah. I don't know.
It's interesting. The positioning in that conference down the stretch is going to be very, very muddy and very, very messy. I want to say I saw earlier this week, there's a possibility you could have, you've right now, as I said, got five teams tied with one loss. You could have four or five teams tied for the second appearance in the ACC championship game, and none of them have a common opponent's tiebreaker that works for all five teams. With that many teams in the league, that's just the way the schedule shakes out. So you've got a very deep SEC, five playoff teams, most likely. You've got a very strong top of the Big Ten, but it falls off very quickly, and then the ACC and Big 12 are a mess. As for this week's games, let's get some of our best bets, and I'm sure Choppy's got a little bit of a pizza money parlay to throw at us. Don't forget, no matter where the college football action is, nothing like getting in the game and leveling up that next parlay, regardless of how much you have on it. A parlay boost token inside the BetMGM app, your key to boosting your potential payout from a winning college football parlay this weekend and every weekend. Choppy, what do you got for me?
I got a little pizza for you. I got a little pizza. Okay. I hate to do it to you, but I'll take Indiana minus the 14.5.
That's fair.
All right. I'll take BYU money line against Texas Tech. Mississippi State plus 8.5 against Georgia. And then A&M minus 7. That four teamer will get you 26-1. It's not bad.
Yeah, baby. That BYU money line really helps boost that. And then you throw a little, little boost token on top of it.
Yeah.
Get yourself some really nice money. That Mississippi State Georgia game that you mentioned at 8.5, that was a number that caught my eye when I was scrolling through the board. And I went, I want to believe Georgia handles business. But you talk about frisky teams this year, surprisingly frisky teams. And Mississippi State has been at the top of the list, I think.
They've had some brutal losses, too. Brutal.
Yeah.
The loss to Texas was brutal. The loss to Tennessee was brutal. They had some brutal losses. They're, like, Jeff Levy, he could see it. He could see it turning, right? So I think that they're dangerous. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia. You know, Georgia's a good team. They're going to find a way to win this game. I think the 8.5 might be a touch too high.
Yeah. It's, like I said, I want to believe that Georgia, with an opportunity to kind of stamp that they belong in that second tier and could maybe even make a jump into the top tier, depending on how the SEC shakes out over the final few weeks of the regular season, would look to clamp down on Mississippi State. But, man, on the road in the SEC, especially this year, it feels like a crapshoot. It really does.
It does. Road games in general this year have been crazy to me. Doesn't matter what conference.
That's true, too. I mean, it's rare you get a team go in as a road dog, especially. That's not the case here with Georgia, obviously. But rare you go in and go, okay, I feel good about them. I mean,
thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'll let that one slide this time around. Real quick, I only got one play. I don't have a parlay for you this week, as I usually do. My only play, and you mentioned it as a part of your parlay, I mentioned it earlier. My favorite bet of the week is BYU going to Lubbock and upsetting the Red Raiders. And again, we're talking about almost 3-1 on the money line. Please, yes, give it to me. BYU is going to grind this thing down, protect the football, not put Tech on short fields. And if they can limit the big play, then they've got a chance to not just cover what is way too big a number, but I think pull off the outright upset as well. So I will definitely go BYU plus 280 at BetMGM. shop around for your best number, obviously, and then come home to BetMGMU, and we'll be here for you to break it all down next week. John Martin will be back from holiday, Choppy.
All right.
He'll be back. We'll be together to talk about the second set of CFP rankings as well. We'll have plenty to get into. A slate that might be just a little bit better next weekend than this one, but every single game matters down the stretch now for positioning or entry into the college football playoffs. Thanks to our producer, Zach Krall. Thanks to John for taking off on us on the week of the first college football playoff rankings. I hope the mouse ears fit, my man. Thanks to RJ Choppy. I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.